This is Steve Sherlock with another series in the podcast for Franklin Matters. This is number 39-3 in the series. This is the third set from the town hall discussion facilitated by Governor Patrick when he visited the senior center on Sunday, May 17th. In this particular segment, we hear the first questions after the presentation was completed. Governor Patrick himself moderates the discussion, first with Wendy, who talks about the school-nursed versus school-based health centers, with Lynn, who talks about Worcester Public Health Service cuts, with Alice, who talks about dedicated funds remaining assigned to the purpose as designated. This segment has two great sound bites, one I've already turned into a shirku when Governor Patrick was talking of growing up and his grandmother saying, "My grandmother forbid us to say we're poor. You're broke. Broke is temporary." Second, when Governor Patrick on the proposed gas tax says, "Last summer we sent $4 to OPEC and got nothing for it. Here we're talking about 19 cents and getting something for it." The governor closes this segment by picking out the next seven people around the room to get to in the forum. So here we go.
Great. Should we bring the lights back up? So, keep it, Brendan, keep it up here, okay, in case we want to go back, anybody wants to go back to one of the, it's a pretty stressful time, as you can see, some very difficult choices. I will say that when I was growing up, my grandmother used to forbid us from describing ourselves as poor. She said, always say you're broke, because broke is temporary. And this is temporary, but it will be difficult for right now. So we're trying to, the conversation is, how do we get from here to there, and keep the kind of commonwealth that you want and we want intact and strong? How do we make the right decisions today to ensure we're as strong as possible when the economy turns back around? So let me hear what you think. Yeah.
And my concern is for...
Where's your blue jacket?
We're nurses, but I'm a different sector. I'm only out there. But my concern is we've just come through the H1N1 swine flu crisis, and it's not over. But we're having cuts to public health departments and to school health services. And I think that this should be a priority, and I believe that we're not done. This is going away. There will be other public health concerns. So I would ask, please, that you restore the cuts to these departments, because we're already running in bare bones already. If the cuts continue, we won't be able to respond as we have in the past.
Wendy, what should we cut, or what elsewhere to restore those cuts, or what revenue would you suggest?
Well, in school health services, the school nurses share funding with school-based health centers, which provide an important service, a different kind of service, but I believe there's a duplication of services because that's primary care.
There you go.
And I think that they get 30% funding, but see maybe 6% of the students, whereas school nurses see all the children all the time. They don't have to have insurance, and they have free flow.
Okay.
So that we provide the data to show the numbers of students we see. I would ask them to see their data, the school-based health centers, and then apportion the funding in an appropriate way.
School-based health centers versus school...
School nursing service.
Everybody nodding their head. Is that a consensus view at this table?
And I'm not saying the school-based health centers aren't important. They are.
Uh-huh.
But it should be apportioned appropriately because they get so much more percentage of funding.
Okay.
So the youth and students.
And you're saying that there's overlap in the services?
There's overlap in the funding. No, they're different kinds of services, but it's a duplication of services. They also get insurance backing for the services that are also being supported by the state, so they're double dipping.
All right, who's keeping our notes? You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that just needs to be looked at, please.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your interest.
Governor, can I please follow up on that?
Sure.
I'm Lynn Stavitt, and I live in Worcester, Mass. I work at UMass Memorial Campus Healthcare. And in Worcester, Mass., I'm sure you've heard our public health services are being decimated. We have lost six public health nurses. They have cut them down to two. Our elder services are not being able to be taken care of in our senior centers. We've had outbreaks of TB that we don't have the public health services to go out and investigate and take care of these people in their homes. And we've also had a hepatitis A case that, thank God, before the health services were decimated, they were able to go out and take care of it because it was at an eating establishment in Worcester. So at least those people were being immunized. But we're very concerned because the city of Worcester is the second largest in the state, and we have no public health services. And we're asking to please increase any type of revenue, look around at any types of revenue to please increase these and to put our services back and not have any more.
Lynn, are your services in Worcester affected by changes in local aid or direct from the state?
They're from local and state.
From local and state.
Yes.
So you have a view about the local option ideas here to cover the telecom exemption to supplement local aid?
Well, I think that any type of thing should be looked at to increase, to keep the aids and to keep the services in the city. I think it's very bad to cut these services because all the citizens of the city are being affected.
Okay, so let me. Can I just open this up from here? And I don't want to turn it into a debate.
I
just want to open it up. So, is there anybody in the room who wants to speak on the other side of the question about new revenue? I think probably everybody would say, for the sake of public safety and public health, we ought to have a robust public health system that's adequately funded and staffed, right? Okay, but if the question is sales tax or meals and lodging tax or some other tax in order to pay for that right now, Wendy had the idea about looking at about where we're spending money elsewhere and whether there's in some way to strike a different balance, but you're saying look at new revenue. Okay, so I want to give somebody who has a view that it's a crummy time to be looking at new revenue because, you know, everybody's hurting. Does anyone speak to that? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Alice Crawley, and I'm from Alice. Thank you. And I don't
just hold this up.
It is a crummy time, but one of my concerns is when you discuss the issue of dedicated funds,
yes,
also goes to the
right.
How can you ensure that those funds
stay dedicated?
Yes.
No, you're on. Just close.
You have to hold it really close.
Sorry.
That's
my question. How can you ensure that those funds, once raised, don't go into the general fund?
It's a great question, Alice. And so let me tell you our thinking. And then Jim, if you want to jump in, please do. So when we propose the gas tax, how many in this room support a gas tax? How many of you hate the idea? Okay, so take the gas tax, for example. If you raise the gas tax, the Constitution of Massachusetts requires it be spent on transportation. You cannot divert it to something else. Okay? That was a reason for going down that direction. And by the way, there were many members of the legislature who urged us to make that a part of our transportation bill. There are other ways to skin that cat, but that was the way that we put out there. I would just say, I mean, 2 points on the gas tax, it just has struck me about this debate. Last summer, we sent $4 a gallon to OPEC and got nothing for it. We're talking about 19 cents and getting something for it. And I will tell you that it is not popular. It is not popular. The price of gas has gone up 19 cents since we made the proposal. There hasn't been an outcry. But still, you know, it's the views about it are very different in different parts of the Commonwealth out in the West. Where people drive longer distances to get to work or school or where, you know, farm equipment and so on. Very different kinds of concerns and closer in to the Great Boston area. So that's an example of what we're talking about by target revenue. Another example is the telecom exemption, the loophole we're talking about here. That's a property tax exemption. So that by removing the exemption, it means that cities and towns can collect that property tax in the same way that they do from the electric company. So it stays in the city and town. It's another revenue source to supplement local aid to help fill that gap. Same would be true with the local option meal and lodging. Now that doesn't help where I I live in Milton. We don't have a restaurant or a hotel. And actually, some of the legislators made the point that because everybody is hurting around local aid for local services, why not do that penny on a statewide basis and then redistribute it according to the local aid formula? And we sort of proposed a hybrid, I think, in our budget, which was do a penny statewide and then let cities and towns decide if they want to do another penny of their own. But that hasn't gone anywhere. I don't think they should. I think you're right. And then the other target one was removing the sales tax exemption on soda and candy and liquor, and then dedicating that to public health. Because they relate logically, right? They connect logically. The sales tax, and the reason why I am less convinced about the sales tax. Now, if we have to work in that framework, we'll work in that framework. The reason I'm less convinced about the sales tax is because it is a broad-based tax. It goes into the general fund, and so you have to make decisions every year about what goes where. And that's done. I understand that, but particularly in transportation, we have suffered, in my view, from not having a dedicated source over time, right? That where we could climb out of this hole, and that's what worries me about a sales tax alternative to the gas tax. Now I don't want to be incomplete in this point, because the sales tax solves other things from the perspective of the legislature than the gas tax. But I just offered that as an example of this retention. Okay. In the way back, let me just get a bunch of people, and then so one, put your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we'll do another round. Everyone gonna remember their number?
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow citizens of Franklin, Mass. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, featuring John Schmidt, powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.